Tampa. Tampa. Bucks. Josh Freeman. Vincent Jackson. Claiborne back. Bowers healthy. Now that being said, George Costanza. Mr. Steve White.
Thank you.
See, now that's some funny shit. Right? It's interesting. The hell was I? Impartial as I'd like to think I am. Here's the thing. So I give zero fucks. Here's the thing. I don't care. Right? Because I give myself credit for being a relatively smart dude. At any rate, the only reason he should go in the game is if Josh is wheeled off on a fucking stretcher. Doug Martin. Mark Barron. Sean Golson. Levante David. Revis.
Well, I guess I was wrong about some of that stuff. But welcome to What the Buck. I am Old School. You're still looking at our wonderful What the Buck Movember logo. I've got another mix from my man Martin Miggs. I don't know if it's going to play in the console here. I'm going to see if I can get it to play. No, it's a wave. I'm going to have to convert it. I will convert it and play it for you guys next time. Or I'll upload it to the Buccaneers or to the What the Buck Facebook page. We did a nice job. Good evening. Welcome to the broadcast. I am back. You may or may not be able to tell because of the lighting in the room. I've got my Movember mustache going pretty hard and heavy. As you can tell, I've got my Andy Reid look on, which is normally what happens here at the beginning with any fat guy that grows an auburn-colored mustache. You end up looking like Andy Reid for a period of time. And then you look like Andy Reid with a larger mustache. But what I'm going to try and do, the whole reason I got the special dispensation, no audio. We have a complaint that there is no audio. But audio look levels look good here, so I'm going to go with that and see if it's just a Kurt thing. Guys in the chat room, let me know if your audio is good. Podcast, just let me know if you're using the podcast. But anyway, what I'm going to try and do is what's called a connoisseur, which means that as this grows out, I'm going to curl it up, kind of Raleigh Fingers style. And yeah, that's exactly how I'm going to do. And I am not afraid to wear it like that. So the reason I do it is for men's health and prostate cancer awareness research. We've done this now for 4 years going, and this year we're making a big push. Pardon any of the horrific puns that could be made about prostate cancer checkups and pushing. But all of the research that goes to this is to try and help our brothers, fathers, sons, etc., on a topic that no one really wants to talk about and subsequently doesn't get much attention, which is why for the month of November, we are turning it into Movember, and we are rocking the What the Buck Really Matters team. We'd love to have you join the team or collect funds or both. And if you have a team already, you can always join our network, which is the Clash of the Stash Network. If you're on a team, just search for Clash of the Stash Network, and you can join our network, and we can have some great games to join. And additionally, as Adam Buckhead Hogue mentions, though he does not mean to say so here, it's not just for guys. We need if you're in this thing, you're considered a Mo Bro. And if you're a female and you're helping out someone that you care about, you're considered a Mo Sista. And what we need you guys to do is to pretend that you find mustaches sexy, to make us feel a little bit less odd about wearing a mustache on a regular basis, and help us raise funds and awareness as well. We do not require you to do any strange facial hair growth. We certainly do not require any sort of additional hair manipulation whatsoever in your bodies. But if you could support us, that would be great. Welcome to the broadcast. We've got plenty of things to talk about. I just returned back from Kurt, and I saw Kurt's comment earlier with the audio. Everything is his fault, certainly. And I'm sure you did turn me down intentionally, by the way. So at any rate, that's all good. My man, Fernandez just dropped me the MP3. I'll try and get that loaded in here real quick. Let me save it briefly. This is all live. That's one of the things I love about doing the show, though, is we can do things like this. We can just quickly drop things together if I can figure out how to manipulate this properly, which I think I can. Because I want you guys to hear this. It's another one from our man, Martin Miggs, who put together the other bumpers that we've got going in the show now.
Tampa.
Nope. Didn't mean to kick that one off. Sorry, guys. A little technical difficulty. Here's a new TBA mix. This is the TBA mix from my man, Martin Miggs.
Something that I believe is critical. TBA, and that's not to be announced. It's trust, belief, and accountability. Trust, belief, and accountability. Trust, belief, and accountability. Trust, belief, and accountability. Trust the Leaf.
Details, details.
Trust the Leaf.
Josh is our starter. Now Mike Glennon is our starting quarterback.
Belief.
Things regressing with this team.
You know, I don't know.
Accountability.
I mean, this is low as you can get right now.
Trust the Leaf and accountability. 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 Trust the Leaf and accountability.
So Martin Miggs, let us know how he feels about TBA. TBA was all the rage, and in fact, it got mentioned again this week in the discussions about hazing as we go to play the mighty, mighty Dolphins as they come into town here, and we have our Squish the Fish tailgate. Hazing became an issue, and Coach Shiano said, no, you know, we go back to trust, belief, and accountability. It seems as though we've had this huge fervor of fire Shiano, the guy's a bum, everyone's mad, they want to egg his house, et cetera, et cetera, and then it sort of died down a little bit. And there was an article, I forgot where it was, I saw it today, maybe on Bleacher Report or on Yahoo, where that's kind of died down a little bit. Now, I don't think that goes hand-in-hand with Tom Jones' article today that Coach Shiano may be back next year and the reasons why he might. But definitely when you try and maintain that level of angst, it's very difficult in general. So I don't know what the drink words are tonight, guys. You'll have to check with the chat room. Everyone's over there in the chat room right now. I'm sure there are plenty of drink words to go around, but I will try and stumble upon them as often as possible. Let me kick things off by thanking our sponsors. We've got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. I'm going to try and cover both the Seattle game as well as our events, and we'll tip a little bit of information about the Dolphins because I don't know, given what we've got going on, how much time we'll have to have another show this week. But Tom Jones, it's not unusual that you would say that, Kurt. Please tell me you got that. At any rate, thank you to the Wing House Tampa. I know that we had a watch party over there. I know a number of you actually attended. Hopefully you guys had a great time over there. They usually do a great job for us. Aaron and the whole crew over there is always very, very receptive. In fact, we'll be seeing them quite a bit in the coming weeks as we have most of our events at 8001 North Hillsborough Avenue. And you will see those girls out there as well on our Monday night tailgate, making sure that you guys are banded properly and having a great time and listening to the sounds of Jaded, which I will cover as well when we talk about the tailgate. Whiskey Willie's, right across the street from our Hillsborough location for Wing House. This week when we go over there for the meet and greet, I'm going to run across and restock my bar. I encourage you to do the same. Make sure you tell them you're with What the Buck, and you'll get your discounts. And let them know that we appreciate what they do, because they sure as hell keep us lubed, as it were, at the tailgate. Ybor City Chiropractic, Anywhere Transportation, Buccaneer Beads, Black Ops Flavor, and, of course, our folks from Steakhouse Elite, who keep us in all of our delicious Kobe beef. Spent wanted me to remind you that our drink words tonight are brought to you, sponsored by our very own Whiskey Willie's. And that's a really great way to put that out as well. So we definitely need to make sure we show our sponsors the love, because they've really made a difference in this year's tailgate and probably kept together some marriages that would have broken up by people investing all this stuff on their own. So we are gearing up for this tailgate. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And I'll also talk to you a little bit about my experience out in Seattle. You guys know that I go to a number of games throughout the year. I try and get strategic about which games I go to. I'm going to talk about this one more than I talked about some of the other ones, simply because it was such an extreme experience for me. And I go every year to New Orleans and Atlanta, and then I pick two other games usually that I go to. I've been to New England, to Kansas City, to various and sundry waypoints. I've never had a bad experience in all of my years of traveling for the games. And I lived in Seattle for 6 years. I actually lived on the east side. So I was going back there. I had plenty of friends there. I was invited by my man Jimmy Cowbell Dude, a fellow PFUFA member. We met Bert, another PFUFA member out there. Met a number of other super fans that are in the Pro Football Ultimate Fans Association. Welcomed with open arms by great people in a very great or a different tailgate environment. They don't have lots and space to do this. They do almost like street gating, where they have to line these side streets around the stadium. The stadium, by the way, is spectacular. Now, I did, however, notice, and I should have anticipated some of this, that Seattle fans, by and large, were kind of shitty. When I lived out there, I noticed that. I also had it reinforced this week. I had two particularly negative experiences that almost led to some sort of altercation, and I went away thinking this was the worst game experience I ever had. Now, the reason I tell you guys this, and I'm speaking to people who don't need to know this, but share the words with your friends, acquaintances, etc. One of the things that I always hold dear about Tampa Bay fans is, while we may not have a lot of them, the 30 to 40,000 that are there, regardless of whether we win or lose, are good fans. They're there to have a great time. They're there to celebrate the team, to revel in the wins, and you know, sort of deal with the losses together. Commiserate is the word I couldn't find. But they're always going to be respectful of other fans. And that was not the case in Seattle, which is interesting given the fact that they have absolutely no lineage to lean on. At that particular game, they were honoring their first playoff team ever in 1983. I remember those teams because we came into the league the same year as Seattle. I had friends who were fans. I remember Joe Nash. I remember Jacob Green. I remember these guys. And I thought that was great. And it was 4 years after we went to the NFC Championship game. These guys walk around as if they've got a trophy case full of fucking trophies. And I'll tell you what, Seattle, until you go climb that mountaintop, you can kiss my fucking ass. And all that attitude you threw at me, the reason I didn't wear my black t-shirt is because fuck them. Right? You guys know that I am absolutely pissed off at this franchise. I am livid with the way this franchise has handled this year. That's why I wear the black t-shirt. It's my little thing. I know it doesn't do a damn thing, right? But it means something to me. And I got there, and they pissed me off so bad that I said, you know what, the hell with that. You want to bring this stuff, then bring it on. I'm a pretty big target. So, to Seattle fans, if you happen to hear this podcast, you have a beautiful stadium, you have an amazing pregame thing, you have great in-game production, the noise is every bit as loud as people said it was, right? It is gorgeous and breathtaking, and in and out is terrific. Your tailgating scene is a little bit rough just because of the logistics of it, but the people do the best they can. Two little hints. Back off on the weed a little bit and learn how to win. So, at any rate, that's my little beef, and I'll gladly expound on that as much as you guys want to, but it was not a good experience. My Seattle friends who I was out there visiting were embarrassed by their companions or their cohorts or their city mates, whatever the fuck you want to call them, but it was absolutely not a good experience. I was torn, because right now I just want them to blow this organization up, meaning the Bucks. I don't like what's going on with the coaching staff. I don't like what's happening in the office. I never want to root against my team, and I won't, right? But at the same time, do I want us to go out there and put an ass-whipping on the Seattle Seahawks and give Coach Shiano a chance to stay here? Well, part of me is torn. I know Skip Brown and I talk about this kind of stuff all the time. Or in passing, we talk about it. But I found myself hoping we would run the score up. When we were up 20 to nothing, I was like, you know what? Get to 50. Drop 100 on these fuckers, right? And shut these sanctimonious little pricks up. But sadly, that didn't happen. What happened was exactly what many of us probably felt was going to happen. You could feel it in the pit of your stomach. Every article I read about it, from Pro Football Focus to Pewter Report to Joe Bucks Fan, all talk about it the same way. Even ahead 21 to nothing, you knew. You just knew we would find a way to snatch defeat from those jaws of victory. A phrase that I've uttered far too many times already this season. All right, let's go back. I've already done my little rant about Seattle. Let's talk about some of our great events that are coming up. Remind you guys about those events. I'll let Spent drop the links in the chat room, and then we'll go on to talk about the game itself. Some things that I noticed. There are some things to be a little bit excited about, I think, from a staff perspective or a roster perspective is probably a better word to use. There are some things to be disappointed about, which of course would be if you're going to be all excited about some things, and then you're going to choke up a 3-score lead, there's going to have to be some things you're upset about, too. So, all right, so the events that are coming up. We have got a Finns meet and greet at the Wing House. That is Saturday or Sunday night at 7 p.m. We're going to be watching Sunday Night Football there. We've got a huge contingent from the Deep End, which is one of the large fan bases down in Miami. They're coming up for the game, and they're coming up in force, guys. This is a team that's in a lot of turmoil, too, but they have a great fan base down there, too. They're coming up. It's a quick drive for them. We're gonna welcome them to our Wing House. I think we've got 70-something people that are already accepting. We're going to rock that bitch out. We're going to have a great time, have some wings, have some beer, get a chance to meet some of the fans that we're going to see the next night at the tailgate, and just have a great time. It's going to be at 7 p.m. The Facebook event is on the wall. Spent just dropped that in the chat room. Thank you very much, Spent. You're welcome to come. Bring whoever you want. You can wear Bucks gear if you want, but the Bucks aren't playing that night. Do whatever you want to do. You never really know. But it should be a good time at Wing House. That'll get us a chance to meet everyone, etc. Now, the tailgate, which has been cleverly coined the Squish the Fish tailgate, will kick off the very next day. What is our official start time on that tailgate? I've got to look at the event. I didn't copy that over like an idiot. My guess is we probably have it starting at 3 or 4. That's what we did the last time. I'm sure Spence putting it in the chat room now. Yeah, 3 p.m. All right, I'm about to get out of email because I'm getting too many notifications, and none of it's show-related. But at any rate, the 3 o'clock start for the tailgate, We will have Jaded live. Now, we talked about having a funk band that Aaron had, and you know, there's nothing against Jaded there, by the way. We had a great run with Jaded. We continue to have a great relationship with Jaded, but we wanted to kind of mix things up a little bit. But with the pressure and the time around what we have to do to get that tailgate ready, we just didn't think that that kind of a change made sense at this point. So we're sticking with Jaded for this thing. And like I said, Jaded's our home band, right? There's no reason we're trying to replace them. What we're trying to do is add some more flavor like we do every year, try and just up the ante that much more. So we're going to have that the funk band come out and take a look and see how it's set up. And we may be able to get them thrown into another tailgate this year into next year as well. So we'll have them out there playing. We'll have the Wing House Girls. Raffles galore. I want to remind you guys that all the proceeds from all of these tailgates and events are going to be going to Movember this year in the name of the What the Buck Really Matters team, not in any individual name. So any of you folks that thought that was going to be the case, y'all can all suck it because that's not the way it's going to work. The other charity that I want to mention is Mama Claiborne, Adrian Claiborne's mom, who's become quite friendly with the What the Buck crew, is running a Sack Hunger campaign. And we're collecting food, non-perishable items, for her Sack Hunger campaign at all of our events. So if you want to bring a bag full of canned goods and non-perishable items, that would be great. We're going to be collecting them all at the tailgate. Spent, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe we're going to have the trailer out there to store these in. I'll wait for Spent to comment in the chat room. But we will be collecting those and dropping them off for Mama Claiborne's Sack Hunger campaign as well. So these are some of the things that we talk about every week that really kind of keep us going through a year like this. Here we sit with no wins. It's absolutely brutal to be a Bucks fan right now. Now, fortunately, in some ways, and this is horrible to say, but hold on a second. We're playing a team that has more turmoil around them right now than we do. They got a guy who quit because he felt he was bullied. They have suspended indefinitely another player. There are hints that the coaching staff knew about it. And so they're in a set of turmoil too. So in some ways, they've taken some of the light off of us, the shine off of us. So in some ways, that's very, very good. But they're going to come in here trying to win too. Now they, you know, we talked on Twitter actually. Drew Hamilton and I were going back and forth. Joe Bucks fan had an article, which essentially had implored Sheridan to stop all of the bullshit on the defensive line, which Steve White's been trying to get him to do for 2 years now, and just come at this line that's injured. Stop with the stunts. Let your dogs eat. I don't know that that will happen. Spence not sure about the trailer. We need to talk about that offline because if the people we know bring the food we know they will, we'll need some way to get it out of there. But we'll figure that out. You guys don't worry about logistics. We'll figure out the logistics somehow. So yeah, right now Florida football is a joke. The Jaguars, Dolphins, and Bucks all suck ass. They're absolutely horrible. Oh yes, Badge Bowl. And go ahead and drop the date of the Badge Bowl information there as well. That's the week after, if I recall. Yeah, and Kurt's dropping the chat. The Miami thing is ugly, guys, and I don't want to spend too much time on the Miami thing because, to be honest, I could give two shits about it. I don't like the idea of a precedent being set that bullying can exist in this sort of a sport, but at the same time, if I put my corporate hat on, you have to ensure workplace sanctity, right? And if there's some sort of coercion, you have to be able to take advantage of it. Now, normally these things happen and get taken care of by themselves, but I do think that there is a fine line between coercion to a level where it should be called out by adults and being a bitch. Was that a quote from McCoy? I didn't quote anyone. So the answer to that's no. Badge Bowl, for those of you who don't know what Cheryl's talking about over in the chat room, is another live event that we do. And I'll be emceeing that again this year. A bunch of our super fans are going to be out there. There's only one good football team in Florida. Nice. It's firemen versus policemen in a flag football charity event. It's a great time. Absolutely great time. And now the Florida State fans are pounding their chest. They've all come out of their closets. For once, they have predicted a national championship run that they're currently still on route to making, which is good for them. That's good. It's funny. I felt bad during that game this weekend because I didn't want any one of them to win because I dislike their fans almost equally at this point. But I did say before the game that the U fans were more annoying than the Florida State fans, so Florida State was going to be who I would pull for. At any rate, 11:16 at 4 p.m., this will be at the UT Field, the new UT Field, $5 a ticket. Get out there and celebrate that and help support a great cause, and we'll be out there. And then we'll be going straight from there to the meet and greet for the Atlanta Falcons. So that should be a good time. Good time all around. Look at the links over there in the Badge Bowl. All right. So news that pertains to us. We'll talk a little bit about injuries. We're going to talk about this loss, obviously. We're going to talk about the fact, and you know, this is one of the things that a lot of the Seattle fans are talking about. And if you guys are friends of mine on Facebook, you saw that I have absolutely gotten to the point now where I have determined I have become a grumpy old man. My tolerance level is so low I could trip over it. And Kurt, or Chain, by the way, firemen and policemen last year, they were pretty well matched. I think they go out there and grab some ringers, to be honest. But the inability to close, right? There are a lot of Seattle fans, the ones who weren't assholes were saying, wow, you know, we really got lucky on this game. The point of the matter is, good teams find a way to win. And Cheryl just reminded you that the Badge Bowl proceeds all go to One Voice. You guys know how much we feel about One Voice. So, make sure that if you are available that day, you're able to get out there and have a good time. Good teams find a way to win. Bad teams find a way to lose. When a good team plays a bad team, that usually makes it that much more expansive, the disparity. Because Seattle, by all outward appearances, is a good team. Everyone's got them predicted to make a run for the Super Bowl. The Bucks, at this point, are a bad team. I will denote that because we can't seem to win a fucking game. So here we sit at 21 to nothing. We give them a cheap touchdown at the end of the half. But what's interesting is we come out of the second half and my buddy Carl's sitting there and we march right down the field. Now before they stopped us on about the 18-yard line, my buddy Carl's like, shit, we just can't stop you guys on offense. This game's over. And it looked like that. It absolutely looked like that. The offense continued to click. Mike Glennon, who's one of the high spots right now. You guys, I'm not going to eat any crow on this because I still don't think he's an answer for a quarterback. But right now he's playing good football. He did extremely well given the scenario out there. It was, folks, I have a recording I'll post online once I download it from my phone. The volume level is almost impossible to convey. And for a young quarterback to go out there and handle that was impressive. Absolutely impressive. Now, I've watched the game again. I've gone through and looked at the film. I went through and looked at the stats. I don't remember us taking a lot of shots. But what we were doing was working in the first half. And here we go again with this whole half issue. Right? Because we came out, we got that field goal, and then we did fuck all from there. You guys know we talk a lot about third down conversions, right? And I think one of the things that was being talked about on the news or on the reports of the game were third down conversions. And I got the stats over here somewhere. I got sheets all over the deal. Doopy-doo. Third down conversions. Buccaneers were 8 of 15. 8 of 15. I can tell you this. They failed on their last six. They only failed once out of the previous nine. So when you look, and if you look at the charts, you guys know I use the playbooks. You can get the playbooks out on ESPN.com. And if you're a geek like I am, that matters to you. You can go out there and take a look at the way the drives lined up. Hey, Jackie. Yeah, 7 of 8. It depends on, like, when I went through and counted the individuals, I didn't redo when there was a penalty, so I'm off by one. But we were either 7 of 8 or 8 of 9. I came up with 8 of 9. Oh, yeah, yeah, second half. The ninth one was in the second half. You're absolutely right, Shadowhawk. But you guys know that they show the ball possession and drive chart. You guys see I go through that. First half for us, we started with a punt, and then we went touchdown, 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 end of half. Came out with a field goal, and then we had, guys, here, I'm going to fold this for you. Take my word for it. This is the Bucks play charts. Let me see if you can actually see this on Manycam. Not sure how good the granularity is going to be on the camera. No, I'm covering it up. There you go. That's the game in a nutshell. In the second half, when all we really needed was one sustained drive, just one, after our field goal, because we gave up that touchdown, five plays, punt, three plays, punt, five plays, punt. Oh, yeah, and then overtime. three plays for negative 4 yards and punt. Holy choke. Now, when I was looking at the third down information, and this is the kind of geeky shit that I find interesting, I want you to know that out of 15 attempts on third down, we only ran twice. Our average gain or yards to gain was 6. We threw the ball all over the place. Now, normally underneath to Leonard. Leonard was by far the most targeted. And in fact, Jesus Christ, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of those 11 were to Leonard. 2 to Underwood, 1 to Lorig, 1 to Wright, 1 to Jackson. Now, Mike James, and this is something that we'll talk about as well, Mike James was a bright spot. Now, I know you guys are ready to go, do you, but you don't want to say that because FSU just put a whooping on your ass, so you're afraid to throw the U sign up, but that's okay. Mike James balled his ass off, and so did Brian Leonard, to be honest, right? Mike James in the first half had 17 carries for 82 yards. Now, Shadowhawk, let's not get carried away now. If Doug Martin ran behind the line blocking the way they blocked for Mike James, I actually think Doug Martin would have run for 300 yards. Doug Martin is the best back on this team. I like what Mike James did. Don't get it twisted. But Mike James is not better than Doug Martin. Doug Martin is a fucking stud. He has not been able to run through holes the way Mike James was able to run through this time. But it's good to know that Mike James, when given an opportunity, can get out there and perform. And he played very well, not just on the ground, but as a receiver as well. Or at least anecdotally, I haven't gone to check and see how many times he was targeted, but I get the feeling he was targeted well enough. First half, 17 carries for 82 yards. The second half, 11 carries for 76 yards. The problem with this is, on the surface, you look at that and go, well, they didn't give him the ball enough. They didn't give him the ball enough because they couldn't sustain drives. They couldn't sustain drives because we seem to insist on throwing the motherfucking ball every time. The first half was freakish. I think Glennon was 10 of 11 in the first half. Did anyone see that? What are the numbers? First half summary. 10 of 11 for 124 yards. At 153.2 rating. Now, most of them were underneath and safe throws, and a couple of them were pinpoint. The one to Tim Wright on third down was crazy. Tim Wright reached in there and snatched it out. The one drop actually was Vincent Jackson's. Yeah, the TDs were good too. Now, the thing on those TDs that were impressive was Tim Wright staying alive. Taquan Underwood staying alive. Right, the one to Tim Wright in the back of the end zone, he's going over to the right-hand side. He sees Glennon get flushed to the left. He reverses field, finds a spot in the back of the end zone, makes the catch, gets his feet down. On the one to Taquan Underwood, Taquan Underwood was open for about a day and a half running through the back of the end zone, but Glennon didn't have an opportunity to throw it to him. That's not on Mike. He had pressure. He eluded the pressure. Underwood continued towards his side of the field, coming back to the ball. Back to the ball. That's smart. And Glennon delivered it. The jump ball, I don't care about. It was cute, but I don't care about it. It got us a touchdown. That's the only reason I care about it. What I can't seem to figure out is when you have a running back who's averaging, what was James averaging? 5.8 yards a carry? Anyone? I know I'm the only asshole who keeps track of that kind of shit. In the first half, it was 4.8 yards a carry. So let's just look at these third down conversions, and let's select only the ones that were 4 or less. In the second half, there were 2 of those that we tried to pass out of. One we ended up taking a 7-yard loss, and one was an incompletion for a fail. Now, when I went back and looked at the game, Buck Crazy says, V-Jack's one of the most underrated wide receivers in the league. Dude, you're high. And I love Vincent Jackson as a human being. And I know that when he is on, he is an absolute baller. But Josh Wobbles is right. This year, he is not playing good football. He is just not playing good football. Now, admittedly, we're not taking much advantage of him. And I could have sworn we were setting him up because the Seahawks were running press, as you'd expect with their corners, with a single high safety. And we would call, you guys all know the play, number 72 reporting eligible. In comes Gabe Kareemi. right? And we would go stretch to that side. And we'd normally go to the short side of the field. In the NFL, it's not as pronounced as it is in college, but there is sometimes a short side and a long side of the field based on where the ball is positioned. And Jeffrey Moos, I agree. Meredith seemed to have been the difference. Well, typically we had Vincent way out on the hash mark on the wide side of the field. That safety, that single high safety, continued to cheat over towards the short side of the field. And I just thought for sure they were setting up a play action and a go to Vincent Jackson. You've got to take the shot. We took a shot earlier when they did the same thing against Sky Dawson, who I don't even know if his jersey number was stitched on. I think they may have just ironed that shit on before the game. But I think he actually ended up getting more looks. Did he get more targets than Vince? If not, it's real close, guys. Vince got four targets, I think. Vince got four targets. What the hell is this kid's name? Sky something. He got targets. He didn't show up. Weird. Maybe it's because of a pass interference. Because he got a pass interference on that call. So, at any rate, they didn't end up doing that. Yeah, Vincent has had a bad time all year. It has not been his best campaign. And he's shown alligator arms. He's shown things that I just didn't expect that from him. Right, that drop, he definitely did not want any part of that contact, which is not the kind of game that Vincent typically plays. So what I was saying was that the game, where was the game lost? Sky Dawson straight from the strip club. I love it. And I love, oh, fuck, Sullivan. In the post game, yeah, they say we got too conservative. That first play in overtime was really, we're going to take a shot with it because we had Dawson lined up in the backfield. You know what they had him lined up in the backfield to do, guys? If you go back and watch that, that's a wheel route or a bench and go. He drifted out of the backfield. They thought they'd have him isolated on the wheel linebacker. Well, no one in their right mind is going to leave him isolated on the wheel linebacker long enough to let you complete that pass. Right, you can't sneak him in there. He's wearing fucking 18. But it didn't matter because we got flushed out of the pocket. Lester Hayes had more stick-em on his hand than anyone in the world. At any rate, holy URL, I love it. So at 7:51 left in the game, all we have to do is get a small drive. Actually, you know what, guys? We haven't done this in a while, this actual review of a game, because, to be honest, I haven't had the heart for it. But I did it this week, so damn it, y'all are going to have to deal with it. Hey, Skip, what's up, brother? 7:51 left in the game. We get it at the Tampa Bay 21-yard line. We just need a nice, sustained drive. We run Mike James for 3 yards. Guy you might remember makes a tackle, Michael Bennett. He also had a sack close to another one. And Bobby Wagner, who's a fucking beast. Well, then we go to shotgun. We hit Vincent Jackson with a 5-yard completion. 3rd and 2. Remember that one I told you we failed on? 3rd and 2. Shotgun, passing complete. On that play, we run 4 guys in routes that I don't think any of them were shorter than 15 yards. And somehow we thought he would have time to complete it. Now, Mike had done an exceptional job of buying time given his lateral speed, which is absolutely abysmal. I was describing his running gait to one of my buddies in Seattle. I was like, he's like a baby horse, right? He can't really move laterally very well, but if he gets those legs moving like in a straight line, he's good. But multiple times when he would scramble and get moving in a straight line this week, he would then stop and try and move laterally. And I don't understand that. You're 6'7". There were a couple times where he'd scramble and give up when he could have gotten on the first down. But to be honest, the kid did more than you could ask him to do. So I'm not going to pin this one on Mike Glennon. This game, I don't think you can pin on Mike Glennon. And I don't think I've said fuck that many times, Josh. But I can catch up. Anyway, 7:51, that drive kills us. Because the Seahawks take the ball, march down the field, score another touchdown. We do absolutely fuck all with it. Go to overtime. Win the toss. Hey, we won the toss. What does that mean? It means our inept offense in the second half is going to come out and be what? Inept. And give the ball back to Seattle and let them walk down the field. So, we didn't cover keys to the game in advance. But, one of the things... UFC fan, I know what you're saying. I do. I said it multiple times during the game. He's 6'7". Just go forward. Anyway, we wanted to be able to run, and we did. You know, Mike James gave us a running game, and Brian Leonard spelled him at times and gave us a running game. The offensive line, more importantly, blocked well enough that we could run the ball. That was outstanding. And if we can continue to do that, then we have a chance to win a few games. Some of you will be happy about that. Some of you will be sad about that. But it is still going to be true. Yeah, Joseph, that's the drive I'm talking about. So, and let's talk about this concept, Joseph. And for everyone else, what Joseph's asking about, and I'll do some shout-outs to the chat room as well. There are a lot of offensive coordinators who think passing the ball is just as safe as running the ball. They literally do. They see no difference between the two, right? I'm not one of those guys. Lots of bad things can happen when you pass the ball. In fact, the safest thing that happens is it's incomplete. But... No, the complaints about Mike Glennon and going forward is we're not asking him to try and do a damn John Elway helicopter, right? But when you're 6'7", all you have to do is go forward, slide forward, right? You'll get an extra couple yards here and there. What you can't do is stop because he does not change direction well and try and go laterally, right? But keys to the game, run the ball, we did that very well. Exceptionally well, except for when we needed to maintain drives in the second half when we couldn't maintain a drive at all. As I mentioned, 5-5-3-3, those were our plays. There you go. That's the second half. Five plays, three plays. Fuck you, we lose. Eliminate the crowd would have been one of them. And to be honest, that crowd's hard to eliminate because they are nonsensical and not particularly football smart. So they really just make noise to make noise. They're not sure when they make it. They have a chant that's equally stupid to the J-E-T-S, Jets, where they say, Seahawks. It's kind of like our Tampa Bay, except for it's not side to side. It's just sort of everyone doing it at the same time. It's really obnoxious. They do it all the fucking time. And then the women who are there typically just scream. But all of that being said, when we went up, and it wasn't, listen guys, I got to tell you something, because I get, believe me, you guys know I get as mad as anyone and more mad than many at our crowd. The team we played is a playoff contender, and by the way they acted, they should have a Lombardi already given to them that they're just going to keep it like it's on layaway or something, right? We scored the first touchdown, they booed their team. We scored the second touchdown, oh, they booed them louder. The third touchdown, motherfuckers were booing like crazy. If I lived in Seattle and had to support that team, my head would explode like the movie Scanners. The fans were absolutely horrific. Absolutely horrific. But with each drive, with each first down, you could feel them getting deflated. You could feel them being embarrassed. And in fact, in the interim, one of the two almost altercations, my comment was when someone asked why the fuck I was even there, or who I was there for, I said the team that's currently beating you 21-7. Right? They don't seem to pay that much attention to what's going on in the game. They don't really. Maybe it's the amount of weed they smoke, to be honest. I don't know. So, at any rate, the drive that I was discussing started at 7:51. We go three and out with two incompletions, stopping the clock both times. Left them 6:19 on the clock. They go down and then end it. The last one of the keys to the game would have been to contain beast mode, to contain Marshawn Lynch, which we did pretty well in the first half. But he came back, and then they just leaned on him. right? We dropped off and they picked up. Now, were there adjustments made? Well, according to Coach Shiano, you don't make adjustments at halftime. Right? Just don't, they don't make adjustments. Don't know how you can have such a strikingly different first half and second half without adjustments, but, you know, maybe that's what it is. So, I said Glennon, good decisions, accurate short and intermediate. Stage is not too big for him, which is one of the things that I think someone else said earlier this year. He is not afraid of what he's being asked to do. Right? Mike James. You guys are Mike James guys. Mike James balled his ass off. Brian Leonard, when he had a chance to, too. Brian Leonard doesn't have the upside that Mike James does. Mike James is a more talented physical player. He played very well. But like I said, let's not get carried away here. Were Doug Martin running behind that line on that day, I think that Doug Martin would have gone for 275, right? I think he's a better back than Mike James. But that's okay. He's our starter, and he's injured. Mike James showed you give him an opportunity, he can produce. And you can bet your – dude, I was screaming. Not only did we not run Mike James, right? We sent him off the goddamn field. Send him off the field. To answer your question about weed, it is supposed to be medicinal. You're supposed to have a prescription. Apparently, prescriptions are very easy to get. You are not supposed to smoke it at the stadium, but it was done. They also have a number of these devices that look like e-cigarettes for various things like wax and oils. There's a lot of THC getting processed. A lot. So, I can tell you this, that I was there less than 7 minutes when I was offered the first time. It's not my particular predilection. You can tell me I'm more into, say, sausage balls, right? But it was certainly everywhere if you wanted it. But regardless, Mike James, first half, 17 for 82, second half, 11 for 76. He's still doing it well, but we could not sustain drives, and subsequently we got whipped. The offensive line, if it's Javon Meredith, then goddamn it, keep him in there. Right? Whatever we got to do. Well, I'll tell you what. If they were washing out the sideline, they were doing a good job. Very good job. Things to be negative about. Obviously, can we please just win a son of a... I can't even come up with the cursing that I want to do. I just want to win a game. That's all. Can we start and finish a game? Four quarters. That's what I want. Four quarters of football. And stop hitting guys in the goddamn head. Why is that so hard to figure out? Especially quarterbacks. You're going after them. These weren't ones that were in the middle of the road, quarterback dipped his head. These are ones where you're coming straight up and you're putting the crown of your helmet on his fucking chin. It's just stupid. All right, let's do some shout-outs to the chat room. We'll hit some skulls and swords. All right, we got Jeffrey Moose, first-timer, Kurt, Drool is cool, Chain, Buckshots, Adam Buckhead, Buck for Life, Joseph B., Spent, Christine, one of the evil twins, B. Sizzle, Daniel Shreve, Josh Wobbles, Jackie, UFC fan, Buck Crazy, Skip Brown, Roman, Captain Bone, Shadowhawk, Buck a Duck, Calico Jack, Guest 263, Axe, and two viewers whose names we don't know. And then someone just left, just that fast. They're like, fuck it, this guy's an idiot, I'm out of here. All right, let me check the mailbag to see if we got any mail coming in here. Oh, my man Steve White retweeted the show announcement. Thank you very much, Steve. We got to get this shit fixed. We can have you back on the show. I need someone intelligent on the show because I'm clearly not getting the job done over here. All right, let's cover some skulls and swords. I'm going to go over to the What the Buck wall and take a look at what you guys have posted over there. And then I'll give you my skulls and swords. Some of them were very obvious, I think. But we had some guys play good. I think there's going to be some interesting discussion about who the skulls and swords are. Let me see who we've got over here on the What the Buck Facebook wall. See how far down it got driven. Give me 2 seconds. If you guys need to know the rules yet again, the rules on skulls and swords are one skull and one sword. I've got to caption this. There we go. We got plenty of them in here. Good stuff. All right, here we go. Sword, Mark Barron. Skull, Shiano's empty sack. Kurt McDonald, sword, Mike James. Skull Shiano, his pussy calls in the second half. Grow some balls, you hack. You guys yell at me. That's an Australian, though, so he's probably in jail. All right. Sword, Mike James. Skull, Sullivan. Second half was a joke. We actually had that game. Bucko Pat, Sword, James, Skull, head coach. Renee Lee coming in here talking about the Vikings as if that matters. That's my buddy Dan. He probably doesn't remember posting it. It's all good. Thomas Sandberg, Sword, Mike James, Skull, me for thinking we'd ever win a game under this regime. Angel, multiple studs out there. You can't cheat, fucker. But he gives a hands down. The coaching is the dud. Kim Billett, dud, stupid coaches. Now, he throws this one in there. I'm going to give him credit for this one. And people who think because the game was close, we should give Shiano a chance. Sean Dahl, Skull Shiano, can't close. Sword Barron. A lot of love for Barron out there, who did have a very good game. Sword Barron, Skull Sullivan, second half play calling. Peter Roy, one sword and one skull. Look at that. He's telling people. Son of a bitch. I'm so predictable. It's pathetic. Jason Watson, that's Shadowhawk, if I recall. Sword, welcome to the Tampa, Mike James. Skull, Mike or Shiano, for not knowing the bounce passes are now legal in the NFL. Sword to Shiano's first half. Skull to Shiano's second half from Tom Brooks. Steve Gray, sword to Mike James. Skull, Shiano, no wins again. At least we're consistent. Kim Johannes, I won my bet. Nice. Rock Hour, sword, Mike James. Skull, second half defense. Jeffrey Moose, sword, Mike James. Skull, Sullivan for closing up shop after going up 21-0. Interesting. Dishonorable mention of the officials who couldn't see the obvious on that challenge and failed to flag Seattle for the helmet-to-helmet on Glennon on that late scramble. Interesting. I didn't notice that either. Peter, sword Kanan, skull Shiano. A sword to Kanan? Really? Because he recovered the onside kick, I'm assuming. What about the shank that set up the drive? You can't give him a sword. He can. It's just dumb. Shiano for looking utterly defeated in the postgame conference. Well, he is utterly defeated. Ollie Ellis, sword. As much as I'd like to rep Mike James for the second week in a row, Jamon Meredith gets it. Skull, whoever decided to stop running the ball in the fourth quarter. Anthony Arnesto. Skull for Sullivan, sword for Barron. David Jackson, stud to Mike James and the offensive line. Damn it, Jackson, you cheater. Another stud. Stop with the cheating. Skull to whoever called an empty backfield shotgun on the first play of overtime. Yeah, well, there you have it. Kenny Schaefer, sword to Mike James. Skull to Quan Underwood for tipping an easy touchdown pass. He caught the other one. Jesus Christ, you guys are brutal. Rick Gallagher, another cheating. It's 1-1. Joseph B., skull to Sully for passing the end there. So much for conventional wisdom. Sword to James from Joseph B. Keith Bryan, skull to Sheridan for not figuring out how not to lose a 21-point lead. Sword to Mike James for being the beast like we needed. All right, those are the ones that were over there in the chat room. Or on the wall. I see that you guys have had some in here as well. Skull to Shiano, sword to James. We have death in what run back, if we can see it using correctly. I agree. Sword to the Winghouse girls for getting me drunk enough to forget the game. That's always good. And B Sizzle agrees. It's only one sword per kicker. Bones. Sword to Old School for traveling all the way out there to suffer through another loss. Skull to Seattle's kicker. of course, Kurt, sword for Economos. Oh, that's awesome. Mike Carey is a douche. Mike Carey is a douche. I will. Jeffrey, I will go back and check that out. I didn't see it live. I didn't notice it, and then I didn't watch it when I was rewatching the film because I watched it in condensed mode, and then I went back and watched individual plays on coach's tape. Mine, I've got to go. My big decision was between Mike James and Levante David. I warned people about Levante David. There were probably three times with Marshawn Lynch or someone else, Golden Tate, in open field when the choice was Levante David either makes the tackle or the Bucks give up like a touchdown. And Levante David was just nails. But I'm giving so much love to Levante David all year, I almost felt as though I had to go another direction. And to be honest, Mike James balled his ass off. So I'm gonna give my skull or my sword to Mike James. My skull has got to go. Oh God, it's got to go to Sullivan. It just has to. Yeah, it has to. The The second half was just pathetic. It absolutely was. Absolutely pathetic. So, a couple of articles that you guys may or may not have seen. Pro Football Focus, actually, both of them. The Refocus article was very good. If you guys haven't read it, you should go take a look at that. They talk about the same thing that we always talk about, which is essentially that good teams find a way to win. They give some good credit to Mike James. They also talk about Mike Bennett and how he is not a player of ours, and we let him walk. I would like to point out to everyone who doesn't know that we didn't let him walk. He walked. We let him walk the year before that we allegedly let him walk by making him do another one-year prove-it deal. The other one was the signature stats, which was yards per cover snap, where Darrell Revis leads the league in yards per cover snap, even though we have not been able to use him properly yet, which is pretty amazing. So, all right. Those are the high points, guys. Those are the high points. I would get mad about the Golden Tate punt return where there were three blocks in the back that were missed, but that kind of shit happens. You know, I thought the calls were equally bad on both sides of the ball. While I don't like Carey, I don't think he was particularly egregious. I think that the interference calls were called both ways the same. Right, they were bad both directions, but that's fine. Shame on us for not taking advantage of it. If a Seattle corner was going to pull in a jersey, you were going to get called. And Josh, there were high points. You know, here's the thing, guys. This is a miserable fucking season, right? It absolutely is miserable. But when we've chosen this direction, a high point is the guy that they've chosen to make the quarterback here is playing a good – he's doing a good job at the quarterback position. He really is. I didn't mean to go ba-dit. But he's doing a good job. He really is. Mike Glennon managed the game. Do I think he is a franchise quarterback? No, but he managed the fuck out of that game. Mike Glennon played well enough to win. Mike James played well enough to win. The offensive line played well enough to win. Tim Wright is playing well enough for us to win. Taquan Underwood played his best game of the year and played smart. Yeah, he dropped the one pass, but it wasn't a particularly catchable ball either. As a team, we did not play well enough to win. The coaches did not put us in a position to win in the second half. You have to play for the full four quarters, and you have to coach for the full four quarters. And when you see something that stark, as the first half we had versus the second half we had, you cannot help but wonder, what the fuck? So yeah, I think there are some high points here and there. I really do. But the low points greatly outweigh them. They really do. All right, so I've beefed about the Seattle crowd. You guys got the 411 on that. With regards to Miami, guys, the preview shows, whether we're able to do it or not, we're going to be doing so much stuff with the meet and greet. I'm not sure that we'll do that. If we can only find five players, we might win. Seems we get in our own way with all the suck we put on the field. No. So Tim Wright, let's talk about Tim Wright, guys. You guys heard me talk about Tim Wright in training camp. Here's the thing with Tim Wright. He is not a tight end. He is a fat wide receiver, and that's okay. And I don't mean literally fat like I'm fat. I mean he weighs 220 pounds. He is a big wide receiver. He cannot line up close and block efficiently. They've got to split him out, and they've got to use him as a receiver. And when they do, he's very good, guys. He's quick in and out of breaks. We said that in training camp. He's got soft hands. We said it when Ogletree turned out to be a big steaming pile of shit, and they were going back to get Underwood and then anyone else they could get off the street to be a third wide receiver. Fuck it. Just use Tim Wright. And Buck a Duck, I'm not trying to make lemonade. I'm pointing out things that I think are true. Does that mean that I'm whistling Dixie? No, my team is fucking winless right now. We've got 8 Pro Bowl players. There's no fucking way we should be winless. We lost another game we should have won against a team that's a contender. If all you did was take those games, this game and the 3 before that we lost by a combined 6 points, we'd be 4-4. And that'd be a whole fuckload better. But as is most often the case, things are not as good or as bad as people seem to make them, right? We all get emotional. God knows I was emotional that particular day. right? But at this point, what we have to be looking at is what's going to happen moving forward. We talk about the groceries. What's on the shelves? What's in the cupboard? Do we have enough to work with? Well, God knows we need depth in the offensive line. I adore Davin Joseph, but unless he is injured and can come back and take some sort of a pay cut, there's no way I think Davin Joseph plays with this team much longer. He's playing bad football, and it pains me. Carl Nix may never come back based on this additional MRSA issue, and who knows? When he did come back, even injured, he was still better than 98% of the fucking guards out there. He's a freak, in a good way. Vincent Jackson's not playing good football. Mike Williams is hurt, right? I don't know what happens to the coach. I really don't, guys. I know what I want to happen. I want to pretend, and I hope it's not pretending, that we are Kansas City from last year, that we have plenty of stuff in the cupboards, and we just need a decent cook to come in here. And I don't think Penn's as bad as you guys are beating him up to be, but that's okay. And I haven't seen the Glazers do anything that makes me think that they're trying to be cheap. Right? They pissed away $8.2 million on Josh because of the way it was handled. And I don't remember what Shiano's contract was, but it couldn't have been that big. Do I want to blow it up? No, I don't. I think you got plenty of shit in the cupboards. I think I want to blow up the staff, though. Bet your ass I do. I definitely want to blow up the staff. This staff is not ready to win at this level. And Calico, I don't know how you don't buy that. There is plenty of talent on this team in important positions. There really is. But the talent's not performing. That's on the coach. I thought it was a 5-year, $15 million deal, too. That's why when I thought the 8.23, it was no big deal. Jewel, I mean, that was my recollection as well. But we can go position by position and talk about it too, Calico. I mean, God knows I have a lot of respect for your knowledge about the game and the knowledge of this team. But unless you're restacking some of these guys based on the performance they've put out this year, which is certainly not unfair, but I would say is tainted by the way that they've been used, I don't think that's necessarily there. And I understand the concept of comparative talent, right? But when you line up and you do the who's going to win this, check mark, check mark, check mark, check mark, right? Vincent Jackson against most corners in this league is open. He should be. He's proven he can be. Are there going to be counselors in the game? No. So to recap what we're going to do, here's how we're going to make you get through the rest of the season, Bucks fans, who choose to be with us. We're going to have great tailgates. We're going to have great watch parties. We're going to do great things for charities in the local area. We're going to do great things for national charities like Movember and the Heart Walk and those sorts of things. We're going to have tremendous drinks, beautiful Wing House girls, great music, amazing food from Chef Red. If VJ couldn't run at the speed he is, then that would be true. Vince can still run past cornerbacks. Guys, you just look to last year. I mean, this is silly at this point. I've got Kurt and Calico, who are both wicked smart guys who know football, absolutely fucking wrong in this case. I understand the size thing. Tim Wright's not running by a cornerback. Vincent Jackson still can. Right? I can't tell you how many times I've seen him behind. Just not away from linebackers. That's funny. I can't tell you how many times I've seen him behind cornerbacks and not got the ball, having to come back to it. But at any rate, What the Buck tailgate is undefeated this year. And by the way, I have it in the other room. We have our Hall of Fame flag, which will go up on one of the flagpoles this week. Do get out there. Take a look at the events for the times. I hope I get a chance to see you. He jumps over them. He has to jump over them because the ball's constantly underthrown. Why is it underthrown? Because they can't overthrow him. I know, Kurt. Oh, God, help us all. The level of fucking granularity. Fuck, I'm going to have a fucking aneurysm. Yes, we're not 8-0. We're undefeated. Josh was giving us credit for the away parties. At any rate, our tailgates are pretty fucking good. How's that? And they're going to continue to be better. We'll have the meet and greet on Sunday night. Remember, it's Sunday night, not on Saturday, because the game's on Monday. And then we'll have the tailgate on Monday. I know a lot of you who are sort of part of the core are going to be at the early setting up. If you guys want to do that, let us know. That would be phenomenal. We always can use the help. If you're coming to the tailgate, and if you're listening to the podcast, or if you're listening to this live now, we can always use things like cups, plates, ice. Right? Those are the big things. Right? Those are the big things. If you want to bring anything else, that's great. Contribute, that's great too. So, at any rate, I know we talked about the watch parties. Oh, and this is going to be a perfect time to end because it's going to devolve into a discussion of a guy that doesn't play for us anymore that people still want to have because they're so butthurt over that decision. All right, guys, thanks for joining us. We ended up with, hey, by the way, Kurt, we ended up with five unused bags of ice last week in a cooler that we had to throw away, but we still always can use ice. These night games, I don't think we go through as much ice as we normally do, but we can always use them. Do stay tuned to the event board on Facebook because we post things throughout the day while we're out there setting up that we may be short of, right? So make sure you're paying attention because we'll send out the all call. So at any rate, thanks to, Kurt and Bones and Matt and Sizzle and Cheryl and all of the crew, for all the things we do. We've got two kegs to keep cold. Absolutely. We'll have plenty of drinks out there as well. I know that Bones is going to get over to Whiskey Willie's, just like we all are, and get us stocked up on liquor from Whiskey Willie's. Hey, Bones, please validate if the special's going on over there so that people go over either Saturday or Sunday, they'll be able to get that special and go over and say hi to Wally. We're still trying to set up that tasting as well. And remember, if you're coming to the tailgate, do try and bring some non-perishable food items for the Sack Hunger campaign from Mama Claiborne. With that being said, I am old school. I will leave you with a couple of our bumpers by Martin Miggs and maybe a picture that you guys will like to see. Let's go with the audio, which is here.
Something that I believe is critical. TBA, and that's not to be announced. It's trust, belief, and accountability. Trust, belief, and accountability. Trust, belief, and accountability. Trust, belief, and accountability. Trust, belief.
Details, details!
Trust, belief.
Josh is our starter. Now Mike Glennon is our starting quarterback.
Belief.
Things regressing with this team.
You know, I don't know.
Accountability.
I mean, this is low as you can get right now.
Trust, belief, and accountability. Trust, belief, and accountability. Trust, belief, and accountability. Trust, belief, and accountability. Trust, belief.